Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
what's up now?
Brother,
oh,
what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show with John and Miss Gaines, Miss Tamaya Gaines. Add that. And I'm going to tell you guys, we got a really good show for you guys today. But before I go any farther, I'm going to go ahead on and ask Miss Tamaya Gaines if she don't mind bringing our special guest on.
Absolutely. Thanks for the introduction, Mr. Brown. My name is Tamaya Gaines. Today is November 16th, 2020, and we have an exciting guest on our show this evening. I know you guys have heard the name, but I want to make sure that everybody understands which Erin Davis we have on our show tonight. I know when you heard the name Erin Davis, you were probably thinking, is it Erin Davis the boxer? No, we didn't want him. Well, is it Erin Davis the musician? Nah, we didn't want him either. Well, is it Erin Davis the antagonist from the 2017 Marvel film Spider-Man? Mm-mm, we didn't want him either. We wanted the Erin Davis extraordinaire CEO of Concrete Landscape Services out of Sacramento, California. Welcome to the show, Mr. Erin Davis, to Uplifting Communities Talk Show.
Well, thank you for that introduction. I didn't know it was that many Erin Davises out
there. Yeah, okay, truthfully, I had to Google you. I was like, Erin, who is Erin Davis? No, but yeah, that's how that came about.
That is something else. Well, thank you for that extraordinary introduction.
Absolutely. You're amongst great company, and welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
All right. So my name is Erin Davis. I live here in Sacramento, California, and I started a landscaping company back in 07. And I should kind of rephrase that. I put hyphens around that because back in 07, I was a junior in high school, and as kind of my weekly chores that my parents made me do, I would always go out and cut grass for our home. And two of my next-door neighbors started needing some additional landscaping services, and I began to service their properties. And as I continued to grow and getting older and got a driver's license and things of that nature, it just slowly started to build on itself. And by the time I was in college, I began having homes all throughout the Sacramento area. I was coming to the end of my college career when I was about to graduate, and something just kind of clicked, and I was always amazed at driving around all these commercial properties and seeing these commercial landscapers doing these properties, and I always wondered, you know, hey, they're doing the same thing I'm doing, just on a bigger property. They don't have to drive as far. They can be at one property all day, and I started to think, you know, why couldn't I do something like that? And so in 2014, when I truly officially started my business and began bringing on employees and then transitioning over into the commercial landscaping field, is when my business truly took off. And ever since then, from 2014 till now, I have been a commercial landscaper here in the Sacramento region with full-time employees and servicing the county.
You know what? My jaw is still on the floor. 2007, junior high school, started your own landscaping company. You are the epitome of anybody can do anything they put their mind to. And I'm telling you, I did a little bit of research on you, and I was absolutely blown away, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong. Feel free to just jump in and interrupt me at any given time if I misstate any of the facts. You are a Sacramento State alumni. Is that correct?
That is correct.
With a biological sciences degree.
That is correct.
But you ended up in landscaping. How are the two related?
So I haven't found the correlation as of yet. I started college in going one way. I originally was only doing landscaping just to kind of cash flow my college. I needed a way to pay for college. And so it was great money because I only had to work, you know, pretty much on the weekends. I had the full week open to study, go to school, do my thing, as well as I also ran track at ARC. And so that was kind of also a big component that I needed to go to practice and do things. So I needed to figure out a way to make money and still wanted to go to school, of course, and then do track during the week. And this was just a great median and a great solution to the dilemma that I was in.
Okay. So, and again, Mr. Brown, I'm not trying to take over the interview. I'm telling you, I was literally blown away. The average person with a college degree, I looked up the top 100 occupations, right, the most sought-after occupations. Landscaping was number 59 with an average income of $29,000. Yet you found a way to flip that, and at an early age, you had enough income. You generated enough income to hire full-time employees. Where did this drive and inspiration come from? Because a lot of times, I can't tell you the countless times I've heard, I have family members, I'm not going to call out any names, but I have family members with college degrees, but it's certain jobs that they will not apply for. There are certain jobs they feel like they just will not do because it includes manual labor. So explain your thought process and where did the drive come from?
I'm still trying to massage that as you ask that question, but I think what constantly keeps me going and kind of what I share with my wife and as I got a newborn son and as I talk to him now, even though he doesn't really understand me, it really just has to do with truly having a dream, but then because a lot of people have dreams, but then also believing in that dream enough that you wake up every single day and go through the rain, sleet, and snow that you have to go through in order to get to that dream. I feel so many, whether it be other folks in my age bracket, friends, siblings, things of that nature, everybody always wants this better life, this better situation than they're currently in. But it takes a lot once that tire hits the road. And that's where I feel a lot of people either subconsciously or consciously say, well, you know, I really don't want that dream. And that's where I have to say for myself, I am very eager and very driven to go after the dreams that I have. And to the point that I have to keep reminding myself what my dreams are because, again, I mean, my days aren't easy. And there are days that I don't want to do what I'm doing. But in the bigger picture, where I'm trying to go, I have to go through this in order to get there. And I just think that self-motivation, that self-conscious that I have and have built up has allowed me to continue to go after that.
Okay. And I want to give a quick shout-out to the misses. I didn't realize you were married, but Mrs. Aaron Davis, thank you for holding him down and keeping him focused. I understand me being self-employed, you have to have a really stable home life to be able to pursue your dreams without any distractions.
Yes, you do.
So, I commend both of you guys for being such a young couple with a newborn baby and for you being as focused as you are. Mr. Brown, I'm going to let you jump in there really, really quickly, but I also wanted to point out, Mr. Brown,
yes.
One of the worst
and also
on that
you,
list.
Right. And also, since you're doing the shout-out, I want to give a big shout-out. And also, Uplifting Communities Talk Show, want to give a shout-out for our sponsored. Okay? And this show here is sponsored by California Policy Solution, advocates for you in Sacramento. They're advocates for you. They get your voice heard in government. And I want to give a special thanks to Mr. Mel Osikai for his support for this broadcast. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes. Mr. Mel is a great, great individual.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I just wanted to definitely, you know, say that. Okay, and also I see that you was the Young Entrepreneur of the Year. Of the
Year,
yes,
sir.
The Young Entrepreneur.
2018.
Wow. But just to get it, you know what I'm saying? Just to get it. And what this all was about? 40 Under 40 Award?
Yes, so Sacramento has its own version of the Forbes 30 Under 30. And so they find 40 young individuals under the age of 40 that are doing great things in the Sacramento region, whether it be their work through nonprofits, for-profit businesses, you name it. And they just try to really put a spotlight on 40 individuals every single year and give them a round of applause. As I like to say, give them their roses while they're alive, and just continue to support, push, and motivate others as well as those that they're giving the spotlight to continue to keep doing great things in the community. What I'm starting to see is that a community is really built on the generation that is coming behind, and so Sacramento has a lot of great mentors in the area, a lot of great business leaders, nonprofit leaders. And I believe Sacramento does a really good job with trying to bridge that knowledge gap between those who are in their prime and currently exiting that, and then those that are coming up behind, which is the younger generation. And so this is just one of those instances in Sacramento really trying to do right for those young leaders that are coming up in the community.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. I mean, that was really well said, you know. And another thing that I wanted to ask you, Mr. Davis, what made you want to go into concrete and landscaping? What made you want to go into that?
So it was a little bit by accident, and I really have to put the start of it with, again, it was somewhat forced upon me, the landscaping portion of it. In high school, I mean, my dad made me cut the grass every single week, and then again with my neighbors and whatnot needing work, I saw that this was a way for me to make additional income, and not have to go do a normal 9-to-5. And then again with my situation going through college and coming through college, this was a great way to make good money and not have to be at work for 20, 30 hours a week. I can pretty much knock out a lot of my work all day Saturday and sometimes a little bit part of Sunday, and I was done. So that's how it kind of started and got the ball rolling. But what really took off was when, again, back in 2014, when I transitioned over into the commercial side, and again, I just got to see how good the opportunity was and wanted to give myself an opportunity to try that out, because, and this kind of goes a little bit into the biological sciences, I originally started college because I was somewhat on the track of going pre-med. I didn't know whether it would be dentistry. I didn't really think a doctor, but that was also an option. But I knew I wanted to do something in the science realm. But I also saw how much schooling and how much additional work that was going to take. And so I remember even saying to my wife now, but my girlfriend at the time, that, you know, I'm going to give this landscaping thing a 1 year to just kind of see if I can make something of it. And if so, then I'll continue doing it. If not, I'll go back to school and I'll try to do the pre-med route. Well, as you can see, it worked out, and I never turned back.
All right. You know, well, what would you tell some of the younger people right now that have a dream, but they don't know what direction to take? They don't know, you know, they're struggling with it. What would you tell them? What is the easiest way for them to stop struggling with what they really want to do in life?
What I would say, the first thing is, there is a lot of people doing what you would like to do. Whether you know them personally, or you can follow them via, you know, social media. I mean, YouTube is a great learning source that I spend most of my time and energy with these days. Books. And so I really try to follow success and newer successful leaders, again, here in Sacramento, but then also just nationwide via their books and whatnot. And so I really try to kind of understand their story and see what kind of pieces and information I can pull from them that they share and try to correlate that back into my situation. Now, that's not always the perfect situation because, again, everybody's journey is a little bit different, but you can pick up a lot of pieces and nuggets. I believe you said that earlier, that last week they dropped a lot of nuggets, and I like using that term as
right.
well. But you can pick up a lot of nuggets from other individuals through conversation and just hearing them tell their story. I mean, this is a perfect situation. Hopefully someone listening today, you know, all of this might not pertain to them, but they might get one nugget from me, they might get one nugget from someone else. And over time, as you start pulling together all these different nuggets, it starts helping you guide you through your journey and your path to get to where you're trying to go. So that definitely would be the first thing. Find individuals and find people that are doing what you would want to do.
Right.
All right. Oh, wow. And I understand that you've also aligned yourself with a couple of distinguished individuals in the Sacramento area. Tell us how those relationships were formed.
So I was a part of Emerging Leaders Program. Called Nehemiah Emerging Leaders Program, and that was kind of the first big step up that allowed me to really meet a lot of the movers and shakers in the Sacramento region. But then the next thing, and this is where it's most important, and I started to realize that, is that individuals, and especially those that really want to share, are looking for young individuals to share with. And I know I kind of said a cluster right there, but what I'm trying to say is, if you would reach out to a lot of people, I always thought that you know, these CEOs and individuals were so far away, and I would find the emails, and I'll send them an email, give them a brief introduction of who I am and what I'm doing, and a lot of these individuals would respond back to me, and I
wow.
was shocked. And so I would start getting these lunches, and we'd go on coffee together, and then that's just how this relationship began to form, and then they got to see the drive. And so now a lot of these individuals, I mean, we're on a text phone call basis at this point, where I have the opportunity, hey, I'm going through this struggle, can I ask you a couple questions, can I share things with you? And so it just continues to grow, and Nelk gave me that confidence, but I realized that was always there prior or pre-Nelk.
That's all right.
Mr. Brown, did you hear?
You know, love it. Yeah, I you know, I'm just stung, you know. Just, you know, could you tell, if it's not personal, can you tell the audience how long you've been in business, okay, and your age, and how your business is doing today?
So, been in business officially since 2014. I am 29 years old, and my business is doing well. I'm thriving.
Okay.
In other words, he don't want nobody calling to borrow no money, so he's not going to put no actual figures out there, Mr. Brown. He don't need nobody borrowing $20 until February 29th, okay? That ain't going to come around for another 4 years.
it's funny you say that. It's true. It's funny you said that. I did an article about a year ago now, where I was a little bit more open with that figure, exactly what you said. And I shared that because I was just very proud of, I had been struggling and you know, finally getting my business off the ground, and things were really coming together. And it was more for me to be excited and say, hey, yes, this is what I'm doing. But as you just said, the amount of phone calls, people reaching out, nonprofits, it was shocking. And this was a part of my growth that I wasn't ready for. I had not matured to the stage yet where I could tell, especially a nonprofit. It's a little different when you tell a friend or someone else no, but when you tell a nonprofit that, hey, you know, we're trying to solve this problem, this solution, you know, can you help donate a couple dollars here, there? It's very hard, and my maturity wasn't there. And so as you say that, I am very mindful of what information I share. One, not to false advertise or hide behind anything, but just also trying to be mindful of what it's going to bring on in my future. And so it's very funny that you say that. But, yes, I did learn that lesson.
Yeah, and
that
I understand.
So great.
We don't want nobody borrowing, and we don't want the IRS knocking at your door. I completely understand.
Well, anyway, we're going to take us a quick little break, everybody. And I want to announce this. I want to let everyone know this show, Uplifting Community Radio Talk Show, is sponsored by California Policy Solution, the advocates for you in the Sacramento area, and they get your voice heard in government. And we want to give a special thanks to Mr. Mel Asaga for his support for our broadcast tonight. And also, I would like to let the audience know, if you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1 and I'll let you in. I see that we got one person. Let's let this person on. Let's start, you know, letting people in. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Yes, okay, my name is Joseph Manuel, calling from the bayous of Lake of Love, Louisiana.
All right. What's up, Joe?
And we got man, everything's okay.
I wanted to remind our host, Miss Tamaya Gaines, that this is the gentleman.
Yeah, that's Smokey
calls
Robinson's
in.
Cousin. I know. Yeah, that's Smokey cousin. I know who he is.
Okay.
How you doing, Mr. Manuel?
Thank
I know who you are.
All right, thank you. I'm not as crazy as I may seem sometimes. But anyway, I'm glad to call in, man. I really enjoyed your story. I kind of envy your story because I, too, had a dream as a butcher. And I don't envy it, but really. But and I had a dream of getting my own business off the ground. I started as a butcher, and I wanted to do my own thing. And I started in the house even, you know, making homemade sausage, smoked meat, different gumbo,
okay.
Louisiana gumbo. And I moved from Louisiana, went to Atlanta. And what I did, I got a chef suit to put on. And I went out to different places and I was selling my product. And I was trying to raise enough money to get a building. And the building was so expensive, I just wasn't making enough revenue, you know, to afford it. So eventually I had to just step back. I even tried a little of that in California, Riverside, California. And, getting those buildings, getting all the equipment was such an expense, and trying to do it on my own, I just never could get it off the ground. But I applaud you, man. You have a dream, and you were young enough to stay at it and make it happen. And you know, way back in the days, I go way back, man. We did all that. You know, we had older people, man, that had stores. They sold clothes. They done cement work. They done yard work. They did plumbing work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beginning to be a thing of the past. You know.
Yes, it is.
So as a young man, I applaud you for that, and I just hope a lot of listeners to that. If you have a dream while you're young, believe in yourself, you know, and keep going, man. Keep going. Go for it.
Ms. Gaines,
you
Mr.
showing
John,
it can happen. Uh-huh.
Can we talk, because that is a very important topic that you just brought up. And one that I really want young individuals to hear and understand. And I
mm-hmm.
believe my business is where it is because of when and how I started. And what I mean by that is, again, as I stated earlier, I started when I was in college. And as everybody knows, when you're in college, you live very you live very sparse. You don't have a lot of money. It allowed my business the opportunity to grow. In business, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to fail, and you need time to start to understand those failures, learn from those failures. And so it gave me a runway that allowed my business the opportunity to try and make it. You know, I didn't have a family when I started. I didn't have kids. I didn't when I was back in college, all I needed was about $500 to stay alive, as I like to say, a phone bill, some gas, and car insurance. I mean, it wasn't a high bar that I needed to jump over every single month. And a lot of individuals miss that opportunity. And not saying that it's impossible to start in your 30s, 35s, 40s, but you just have a higher bar and or you need to do multiple things at a time. You need to be your normal 9-to-5 and then doing your business in the evening. And some aren't willing to do that. But if you start that when you're younger, it just gives you that runway to be able to get your business off the ground. And that is one thing that I think a lot of people look over or don't take advantage of, I guess, is what I really want to say.
Yeah, true that. Because if I was younger, it would have made a bigger difference also. And you know, back then we had seamstress, man. We had old ladies that would make you a suit, jogging suit, dress suit, whatever you wanted. And you still have a lot of us that have that talent, but don't want to put it into work to make it happen, you know. And,
right.
You know, you're an example that you can.
Let me step in. I wanted to step in, and I wanted to say a little something, too. And I understand exactly what both of you all saying is because I got to say this here. I can remember the times, and Joseph is very, very right, to the time to where as though I, you know, people was doing in the community, they was doing landscaping, cutting grass. I used to do it. You know, I didn't never do the concrete work because I wasn't old enough. But, you know, I think people got away from that due to the facts of modern technology. But those that stuck with it, you know, the landscaping, the concrete work, and things of that nature, those that stuck with it is really reaping the benefits now. And I think people stepped away from it is because of technology. You know, your computers, more people went to the computers. They started doing, you know, the other things of technology. But those that stuck with what I would say, you know, building and trade and landscaping and things of that nature, they're really reaping the benefits because I see a lot of, and if the work is there. A lot of work.
Well, and that's exactly. You know, I remember reading a quote that says plumbers get rich too. I mean, it's some of these manual trades are going to be here no matter what the technology, where the technology goes. And so the plumbers, the electricians, you know, the landscapers, these trades. As of right now, don't seem to be going anywhere in the near future. So for folks that are not in tuned and wanting to have their journey go through the four-year educational system, look into that. It is going to require your hands getting dirty. It is going to require, typically being outside in the different temperatures of your community and your county. But those individuals still make very good money.
That's right. And you can make a really good living, you know, being a carpenter, a plumber, or a concrete finisher, you know, a welder. I mean, a real good living. But, you know, this is for some of the things, you know, like we're trying to get the younger generation, you know, to pay attention to and to enter the communities. That, you know, college is really good. You know, we want you to go to college. But if you're going to go to college, and then you go in on and you do what you got to do. But there's nothing wrong, and you don't have to feel bad by saying, well, I'm going to go ahead on and become an apprentice because we still need you. We still need a lot of work done to the house. Houses going to have to be built.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep, you know. And, if you would happen to talk to a group of young people, Mr. Davis, you know, and they want to, you know, how would you approach them to go, your route? You know, because like I told you, you know, you're a role model. You know, you a leader, you know, and you want people to follow you. You want people to follow your direction. So how would you go about getting these people to follow your direction?
Well, how I would phrase it would be, you know, what path would you as the individual like to go down? Because each path is a little bit different. Each path has its pros and cons. 10 years ago, if you were to ask me, I would have believed everybody should have started their own business. That was the young Aaron. At this current stage in my life, there is multiple, again, is what you just said, there's multiple ways to become wealthy. So, whether it be a salesman, whether it be, an investor in a multitude of different aspects, whether it be a high-wage earner in a company, each has its pros and cons, and I would ask that individual which route is, I don't want to say most exciting, but which route do they feel that their personality would allow them to go through the best? And at that point, in determining which aspect and which way they would like to go, then we need to start finding individuals that have become successful in that journey and start to mimic that journey. Because, again, you can become wealthy in a multitude of different ways. And so everyone doesn't need to start their own business. But if you do, you know, get ready. It's an amazing time. It comes with, 24/7, 365 kind of mentality, especially at the startup phase, of never being able to not think about your business and what's going on the week out, 2 weeks out, a month out. And so, you just really has to really understand which way they want to go and what their personality fits.
Right. You're 100% right, especially one, person have to know what they really want to do in life. In so many words, that's what you're saying. And because there's so many people out here, and especially our younger generation, it's so much of new technology that is coming out. They don't really know where they want to go. They're talking about flying cars. They're talking about all kind of other stuff, that's coming up in the future. I was reading the internet. And now they got a watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know about this. I'm quite sure y'all do. They got a watch. A regular watch is a computer. And you tell that watch whatever you want to tell it, and they go ahead. Let's say, for example, you want the watch to tell you how to get to the closest Popeye chicken. That watch will tell you, it'll take you right there to that Popeye chicken. And they don't have to. They need people, to service that them watches, because them watches gonna break down. So there's a lot of people that's getting is getting into that. To make a jump on another subject. Now we just got a new president. Okay, now. How you think the situation in our economy gonna be since our old president is gone, the new president is in? You think the economy gonna be better or what?
I was talking with my wife about this because for whatever reason, I mean, like I said, I'm 29 years old, but for whatever reason, this kind of really felt like my first election. I have voted since I was able to vote. I was able to vote the last term of Obama, the 16, and now this 2020 election. But for whatever reason, I feel that those interactions with politics were still a young, immature Aaron, and this was kind of the first time that Aaron could vote as a mature adult and looking at, the aspects of what a president can really bring to the table. However, as I say all of that, I look back and I said, what has really got me to where I am is myself. And I'm really big into the quotes. And there's a quote out there that says, it is more important to work on your house than it is to worry about the White House. Now, don't get me wrong.
Amen.
Some things are so glaring that you need to see and you need to deal with. But at the same time, to think that Trump or Biden is going to come in on a white horse and just make all of your issues go away. Mortgage is still due on the first. Phone bills and other stuff is still coming in no matter who's the president.
Right.
And if you didn't have money before, you know, you got to figure out something in the next 30 days because it's not as if they're going to change something that fast. So I say all that to say, yes, politics is very important, and I am one that says everyone needs to vote. But at the end of the day, I do believe that I have more control over my situation than anybody does in the White House at this current moment and what I have been through thus far.
That is, I mean, you couldn't have said it more powerful. You know, regardless of who in the White House, who president, you still, you know, I'm talking about you still have to take control of your own self, of your own, you know.
That is correct.
That's right. You know, well, we got another caller. Let's see if we can let this caller in. Okay, y'all?
Okay.
Hi, this is Mel.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Mel Asagai. I'm here in Sacramento.
I've
got a question
Mel.
For Mr. Dave. How much of your success would you ascribe to your ability to manage your finances and your investments and your savings?
I would say a good portion, a very good portion. I can't give you a percentage just yet because I'm trying to figure that. But Ms. Gaines, as I was kind of sharing with you, the excitement when I shared kind of those financial information to a previous article, that transition that I had and where my business really started to pop was once I got control of my financials. And this is going to sound a little bit weird, but as a business owner, what I learned is that it is more important to actually have control and understanding of your finances than it is to have a great product. And again, as a consumer, that might sound very weird, but the biggest and the example that I always go to is if you look at a Walmart, you know, they're low price.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I wouldn't say they're customer service friendly to the best that they can be. However, Walmarts are everywhere, and they're one of the largest corporations in the world. And so they have a great understanding of their financials, where every dollar goes, how that dollar turns into $1.50, and they milk that system over and over and over again. And so once I got an understanding of that and how to relate that into my business, this is, again, looking at other examples from those who are doing better than I am and aspiring to where I want to go, I said, well, okay, I need to, one, figure out what I'm doing wrong. My issue was I had a lot of debt. I need to clear that up for cash flow sake and then be able to start investing that additional cash flow into areas that were going to allow me to boost revenue, boost profitability, things of that nature. And so financials play a huge amount of role in my success and in what has allowed my business to round the corner.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mill.
Thank you for your call, Mr. Mill. So
yeah.
Now I have another question, Mr. Davis, because when I hear you speak, although your degree is in sciences, right? What was it?
Biological.
Biological sciences. Thank you. Biological sciences, and here we are in the concrete landscaping. There's a lot of passion in your voice. And what I often think about, and since you like quotes, I'm sure you've heard this one and you can appreciate this one. When you choose a job that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Yet what you're doing isn't what you trained and studied for. So where is this passion coming from? Is it nostalgic when you're out there and, you know, in nature, or where is that coming from?
So where this is coming from is because I believe from my current situation, this is the best vehicle to get me from where I am to where I want to be. And so the faster, the better that I learn how to operate this vehicle, quote unquote, my business, then the sooner I can get to where I'm trying to go. So that's where the excitement comes from. That's where the constant learning comes from. Because again, don't get me wrong, there is days that I say to myself, you know, today has beaten me up. I need to go home, go to sleep, and try again tomorrow. So it's not a constant. What am I trying to say? It's not a constant, everlasting love. I don't want to confuse it. But at the same time, I don't hate it either. I mean, I really do enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy being outside. I enjoy interacting with so many different folks. There is components of the landscaping business that I truly do enjoy. However, to be honest with you, this is the best vehicle for me to get to where I'm trying to go. And that's truly what I love about CLS.
So are you going to expand, or have you considered expanding in other areas of concrete? I know one of the things that is popular and trending is, and almost considered it for my house, have you seen the stained concrete for indoors where stain it and put like these beautiful patterns? Have you considered that or as part of your business?
We currently do that.
Do
that. Yes, ma'am. Okay. A little bit on my business, because I think we kind of, everyone's maybe wondering where this concrete portion comes into effect. What my company does, 80% of my business is general maintenance. So we are the individuals that go out to the shopping centers, apartment complexes, that mow, blow, cut, trim the bushes, all of that good stuff. That's the bread and butter of my business. What we then do at the next step is we provide concrete services, TI, tenant improvement, for the different properties and stuff that we serve. So a property, you know, got busted sidewalks, apartment complexes all the time have busted sidewalks, shopping centers need loading docks, repair, things of that nature. That's where my concrete portion kind of comes in. As well as my dad, that's where my dad also steps in. My dad takes a little bit more head control of the concrete portion, and I do the landscaping part.
Okay. All right. And then I also heard you mention something about busted sidewalks. Me having a career in real estate as well, I know sometimes there's foundation issues as a result, you know, how the roots come up and the foundation becomes unsettled. Do you guys also work closely with like an engineer? Do you have an engineer on staff who kind of jumps in and assists you guys with that? Or how do you get through some of those challenges? And what's the hardest part? Of that type of work.
So we sub that kind of work out. I like to kind of stay right in my niche and do what I'm comfortable with and doing. And truly my niche is the general maintenance. One step out is the concrete work. And so that's where we do a little bit more decorative kind of concrete as well as R&R, repair and replace. So as the roots that you kind of mentioned, we'll pull up those sections of concrete, take out the roots, whatever the case may be, repour that. I don't really get involved in the foundation kind of work just due to liability and things of that nature. So for a project or something like that, we would sub that out, ask a different venture or a different company to come in and handle that kind of issue.
All right.
And
where can they find you? Jump in. Go ahead.
So where they can find me is predominantly Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, so Aaron Davis and all of those, or Concrete Landscape Services.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Brown?
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in right quick, and then we're going to get back with Mr. Davis. I just wanted to let everybody know you're listening at Uplifting Communities Radio Talk Show with Mr. Davis. And also, is sponsored by California Policy Solutions. They're advocates for you in the Sacramento area. And they get your voice heard in government. And we want to thank Mr. Mel Osaga for his support of our broadcast. Okay, back to you, Mr. Davis. Sorry about cutting you off, okay? But I just had to say that before the show here.
Not a problem.
You know, you had mentioned some, but what I wanted to for you to tell the audience before we, you know, go off air, your bachelor's degree was biological science? Is that what you say it was? Okay, explain
to the audience
what biological science is.
So biological sciences is actually a very broad term because, I mean, it can go from the body to marine application to what we're currently dealing with, vaccines, things of that nature. I mean, biology is such a broad term that you then have to ask, you know, what are you truly studying within the biology community? And so for me, what I was going into, again, as I was saying, going into the kind of the pre-med realm, was I was really studying and going after anatomy and physiology and things of that nature because that was the course that was going to take me to pre-med, pre-dental, and whatnot. So I was studying the body in simplistic terms.
Okay, that's why you said that you was thinking about going into pre-med because you was actually studying the body. Okay, I get it now.
Yes, sir.
And I'm quite sure the audience probably get it too. Okay, that is, you know, really good. I like that. Okay.
All righty. And Mr. Davis, I know that you said that you have mentors that help you along your path. How do you pay this forward? In what ways do you pay your gifts forward?
So I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of speaking to high schoolers. There's a couple of nonprofits that I'm involved with, one being Hawk with Mr. Mel that just called in. That is a nonprofit here in the Sacramento region that is really doing great work with trying to uplift the young minority community in the region to start doing better and whatnot. So how I like to give back is speaking. I do a lot of speaking.
Okay.
When you say you do a lot of speaking, where do you go speak at?
It has ranged from high school. It's interesting that you say that because now as I'm thinking, it hasn't been a while due to COVID. But I have spoken at high schools. I have spoken at juvenile halls. I have spoken, in different nonprofit organizations. Have had different, you know, kind of meetings and group setting stuff that I have spoken in. So. I kind of speak in you know, as small as 5 to 10 people up to, you know, 100, 200 folks.
Okay, now, you know what thing? I'm so glad you brought that up because you know what my last question was going to be. Okay,
uh-oh.
Before we start.
What was your last question?
He warned you.
It's going to be the signature. You mama told you about the signature question? What are you doing
yes,
to uplift the community? You just said it.
Yes, that is it. But also what I would like to say, and I think a lot of folks wouldn't know this until they got a little bit deeper, but within my business, who I hire is helping my community as well. The folks that I employ are individuals in the community that you know, want a second chance, that are trying to begin to stand up on their own two feet, and I feel more proud about that than anything that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I commend you for that.
Yes, I mean, that's beautiful. You know, the only thing I can say, Mr. Aaron Davis, is keep the good work up, man. You know, keep being a leader. Because we need leaders in our communities, and our young people need leaders. When people talk about leaders, they're talking about our politician. When we say leaders, they are the leaders. But you are a leader. You're not a politician, like you say, but you are a leader. Okay, people can actually follow you and follow your path in order to make a decent living in our community. Okay, you're an example. you know, and we need people like you. And you remember, like I told you, you know, I told you about Uplifting Communities Talk Show. It's a platform mm-hmm. for people doing positive things in a community. And mm-hmm. you're doing positive things in a community. And also you're a role model and you're a leader, okay? And I would love for you to just keep doing the great work that you're doing, sir. Okay, keep doing that great work. And another thing, too, could you please tell the audience if they want to know anything about you or if they want to, you know, you to do some work for them or what, you know, for you to come out and speak or whatever. Tell the audience and other people that are going to be listening at this show, tell them how they can get in contact with you, if you don't mind sharing that information.
Yeah, no, not a problem. So the three social medias is Aaron, is Instagram, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. But then also, is there going to be a show notes or something that I can send you my email that folks can reach out that kind of way, or do I just say it live and hopefully people write it down?
Yeah, you just say it live because what I'm gonna do, I'm definitely share this to a lot of places. You know,
so,
a lot
so my
of people
email,
listen to that show.
Okay. My email is going to be Aaron Davis, that's AaronDavis, at clfconcrete.com. So Aaron Davis at clfcharlielarrysamconcrete.com.
Okay. And so if they want to ask you a question or anything like that or want to get in contact like that. Okay, well,
that's not a problem.
Mr. Mike. Okay, Mr. Meyer, we only got 8 minutes left on the show. You can go ahead on and, you know, ask, you know, get information, whatever you want to ask Mr. Davis, and then we're going to go ahead on and proceed in closing the show.
Yeah, no, I just want to, again, commend Mr. Davis on his willingness to give the members of our community a second chance. I hear a lot where a lot of those members who desperately need a second chance don't necessarily get it because, you know, no matter how much they pay their debt to society, there's still certain prejudices that come along with that. And I commend you, you know, for that. And I also want to go live on air and let you know if any of your tools come up missing, just call me. I'm willing to give you a donation. Just keep hiring them. Yeah, she's hiring them.
you know what's really amazing? What's really amazing, when I share that sometimes to folks, they always ask something along that line. But I have never had that experience. I have never felt in any kind of way, you know, threatened, whatever the case may be. It is total opposite than what one would think. Now, again, I could be fortunate, I have dealt with a lot of individuals, and I am very confident that you know these folks they want to do better.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've worked in the building and trade when I got out of the military. I was a carpenter mm-hmm. apprentice. And that was in Louisiana, and I had, you know, the toolbox that we had, we actually made our own toolbox. And that's one of them big old long toolbox, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I got on a job. I remember my first job, going on a job, where one of the guys, I was an apprentice, and one of the guys over at the job took my hammer out my toolbox. So I didn't say it. I was kind of ashamed, and I thought I forgot my helmet at home, you know. So, you know, my supervisor, they always have a lot of helmets, so they gave me a helmet, and I gave it back to them. And so I stopped at the store and bought me another helmet. All right? So they took my helmet uh-huh. again the next day, you know. And but what they was doing, they was playing a joke on me. They gave me all my helmets back. You know, with three helmets. So, you know, like, I think that's what she's saying. You know, I don't think that people don't, on job site, they don't really steal nothing from you. You know. But anyway, Mr. Davis, it was really nice having you on the show. this is really, I mean, we, I enjoyed you, man. So if there's anything positive that you want to leave the audience right now, this is the time for you to do it.
What I would say and what I would end with is find something that pulls you through all of the ups and downs that you have to go through in order to get to. And that truly is what a dream should be. A dream should not be something that is exciting pre-work. A dream should be something that is exciting that, one, when you're going through whatever you need to go through, it still is pulling you through that. And I think we have loosened the definition of dreams, and it needs to be somewhat tightened. And, again, not to keep being a broken record, but a dream is something that truly pulls you through even when the days aren't fun and the days aren't exciting.
Amen.
Very well
said. Right.
Very well said. All right.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and we always end with a small prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for getting through this show. I want to thank you for Mr. Davis, for Mr. Aaron Davis at that. The Lord bless his family, bless him, and guide him through, you know, through whatever he want to do, because this, he's legit, he's genuine, and he's a godly person. I can just know that, you know. And I want to thank Mr. Joseph Manu for calling in. I want to thank Mr. Mel Asigad for calling in. God bless you guys. And I want to thank those that called in. I got quite a few people that called in. I want to thank you guys for calling in. With that said, if Tamayo don't have nothing else, I mean, we're going to say good night. Do you have anything else, Tamayo?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But thank you.
Okay.
Been a really
thank
good
you all
show.
For listening
okay.
in. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone. Uh-huh.
You guys have a good night. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.